Hi. So this sermon comes under the explore part of our All Saints visions and values. And you'll find those values on our website under vision and values. They're also on the countdown video at the beginning of every service. So you get to see them there too. So exploring and innovating, what is that? We want to be known in All Saints as people who innovate and who keep moving forwards and exploring new ways to seek God and to see him in our lives and in other people's lives, new ways to bring God to other people. We've already talked about new ways in the service, and in our reading in Acts, it was a new time for the believers, for those who knew Jesus. They had walked with him and talked with him. They'd heard his amazing teaching firsthand, and they helped him carry out his ministry. They were involved in every part of it. He trusted them to heal and minister to people. He passed on everything he was to them. And at this part of Acts, in this story, it's not long after that time of the Holy Spirit landing on their heads, you know, in little flames on their heads. They were making their way as new believers of a living God. And the reading says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread together. They shared everything. They sold things to give money to the poor, and they looked after each other. They took on this challenge together. They innovated their new way. It was a new time, and it was a new normal for them. They had to innovate. It was the only way to hold on to what they believed was true about Jesus. And innovation means to have new ideas and to find new ways to do things. So like we said earlier, we're all good at doing new things right now. We've got no choice. There's Zoom, and there's homeschool, and online shopping, and Facebook Live to go to church too. I've learned how to make foamy coffee. It's not as great as gratitudes, but I'm learning. And I've learned how to do my job online. That's tricky, but when we go back to being in church and in the office, I'm gonna learn how to do my job all over again. But that's okay. Because when I was growing up, I was quite a resourceful child and a bit of an inventor. I was always carving things out of cardboard and paper and hanging things from my walls and ceilings with string. And my parents let me paint my walls. There was Snoopy on there for a while. There was an open window. I guess I liked looking out on things with a beautiful scene. Yeah, I love to break the barriers and do things differently. I love to do things that people said I couldn't do and would never be able to do. I guess I just wanted to work it out for myself. And I'm guessing that that's true for lots of kids and teenagers today. Not much has changed for me. I still don't really trust people's theories on how to do things. And anyway, why should we? We've all had different upbringings and different experiences. So things are going to look different for all of us. And we have to embrace that, especially in this new time. Have you ever heard of divergent thinking? It's when you can think up lots of different ways to do one thing. So kids, when they're between the ages of 4 and 5, they have 100% of divergent thinking inside their brains. They can think, if you had maybe a paperclip and said, what could we do with this paperclip, kids? They could come up with maybe 200 ways to do different things. And that would include things like, could it be big and hold up a house? And all sorts of things like that. Crazy the way the brain works. But as kids reach the age of about 8, the percentage goes down by about half. They're about 50% of divergent thinking inside them. And at 13, it goes down even further, maybe only 25%. I'm pretty sure it's something to do with going to school. But it is a large part of creativity as well. And we have a creative God. That's his image inside us. Some experts think that to be creative is as important as reading and writing. Thinking creatively right now is kind of really important, isn't it? Well, thankfully for us, we have a very creative God of innovation. That's why the apostles did so well early on in Acts. They had the DNA of Jesus right inside of them. And I was thinking right back to the beginning of the Bible, you know, where God created a beautiful garden. I'm going to stand up for this bit. He created a beautiful garden and he invented people, animals, plants, everything, and he put them all in the garden. He let the people be in charge. He gave them purpose. He gave them everything they needed, their food, their water, everything. And he wanted to do that and be there with us. But we wanted more. And Adam and Eve kind of wrecked it for us back then. And we became separated. We had to leave the garden and we became separate from God. There's us and there's God. And it wasn't a great time. We didn't like being separated from God, and God didn't like being separated from us. But he is a God of innovation. So he sent Jesus to a poor family in a poor town to come and tell us this God was for everybody, not just the Jews or good people or rich people or anything like that. He was for everyone, and his love could stretch out to reach everyone all over the earth. It's big, isn't it? This is God's love. It was huge, and it was for everyone. But God wasn't satisfied with that, and he really wanted us back in his presence. He wanted to be close to us. He wanted to be next to us. He wanted to help us every day. He didn't want just to love us. He wanted to be there for us in every moment of every way. And so that Jesus, who came to tell us all about him and what he had for us, had to die on the cross. When he died, he took our shame and our guilt and our pain. And our leaving that garden, Jesus took that and he linked us back to God. It took Jesus, a perfect person, to die on the cross, to do this for us, to enable us to be linked back to God. But this isn't just for heaven and after we die. We're joined to him. If we've received him into our hearts, we are joined to him now. Today and tomorrow and the next day. He's going to be there for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to love us. He wants to share us with good things. He wants to make our lives easier every day. So, what can we do as a church, as people who actually believe that God did this for us? How can we try to offer this to others? How can we embrace this in lockdown right now? How can we include him in new ways to meet us in the dirge of this whole season? In church, we've managed to get the services online, and they're beaming out into maybe 100 homes every week. And it's just an honour to see those words and to imagine God being beamed into homes every week and people hearing his word and worshipping together in their homes. It's just amazing to see that. How else can we innovate? I'm guessing we all go out for a walk. I go out for a walk. I used to walk my kids to school. One day I was walking my kids to school, or maybe I was walking to fetch them. I was worried about something and I was praying. I was praying as I walked on the line in between the cyclists and the pedestrians. You know, sometimes there's a line between those two things. I was walking on a line, and as I walked on that line, I prayed. No biggie. The next day I walked that way and I found myself walking on that line and I found myself praying, which was a surprise because I didn't mean to. So, you know, God is that God of innovation. He loves new ways and new things. If we invent a new way to meet him, he'll really meet us there, and he'll embrace us, and he'll be waiting for us. He loves seeing us using our intelligence that he gave us to find ways to meet him. Maybe you don't go for a walk alone. Maybe you always have someone with you. Maybe you always have your mum with you, or your dad, or your kids with you, and it's kind of a chatty walk. Maybe you could just talk about Jesus. Maybe you could just talk about what he thinks about this time, about this pandemic, about Zoom, about homeschool. What would Jesus think about homeschool? About technology. Oh, there's so many questions you could wonder about what Jesus would think. Maybe as you pass your kids' rooms at night, maybe you could pray for a better homeschool day tomorrow, or a better work day, or something for them. Or pray that they find the thing that God has made them for, and that it lights up inside of them. It's a really great prayer to pray, and pray that you are honoured with watching it unfold and maybe helping it unfold. That's a great prayer to pray for your kids. And kids, you can pray that for your parents too. You can pray that those things that they love to do will, they'll be allowed to do, and they will be allowed to make into their jobs, or be able to do them all day long. Just embrace each other and pray for things that you know the other wants to see in their own lives. And if you're missing friends and relatives, maybe every time you think of them, you could pray. I do this in Lent. I try to limit cakes and biscuits, not very successfully sometimes. And every time I have a craving, I try and pray for a friend. So if I want a chocolate biscuit, I think, oh, I'll just pray for so-and-so, and keep praying until the craving goes away. It gets my friends prayed for, and I might lose a bit of weight in Lent, who knows? And okay, one more. If you have many wakeful hours in the night, my mother-in-law taught me this one, pray for those you know through the alphabet, all those people on letter A, pray for them, and then move on to B, and then C, and those people with names beginning with R and S and T. You might have to switch it up a bit and go backwards or something through the alphabet, so people get prayed for evenly. I don't know. See how you feel. It's a great way to pray for people in the night, and it's a great way to get back to sleep. I find that it does work for me. So, if we're joined, like these two pieces of paper here, to God, through his innovation, he made this happen. How are we going to innovate our lives to help us remember what he's done for us? How are we going to innovate? Where is your painted line?